Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This morning, we're going to read verses 7 through 10. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's the Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. If you are able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together? As you're finding your place there, John chapter 10, and beginning at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and what it means to us that are saved. And thank you for leaving us a love letter, instruction. Thank you. Now, God, please work in our hearts through the Word of God and the preaching of it today. Help us for what our need is today. I pray for our pastor as he comes that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us today through your Word. Now, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus and have never been saved as the passage talked about, I pray before they leave this room, they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your cell phone and make sure that it does not go off during the service. You see, I'm pretty sure it's off. You know, it's amazing how many people call you during church time. You should answer it and just say, I'm in church, why aren't you? And then hang up right quick, something like that. But irrespective of that, just make sure it's turned off or turned to vibrate, please, so we can make sure we have a little peace and quiet this morning. I know for some folks to get away from your cell phone for about 30 minutes is cause for withdrawal and possibly a trip to the Betty Ford Clinic, but we'll give it a shot this morning and see how it goes. I'm going to help you this morning resolve a conflict created by a statement that's made to us quite often. And here's the statement. Get a life. I'm always interested when people say that. Why don't you get a life? Most of those people who make that statement don't have one. And if they did, they got the wrong one. Or they don't know where to go get one. But they tell you to get a life. It's kind of like some stores that you go to when you ask somebody that works there, could you tell me, do you have this in the store, and they just look at you with a blank stare on their face. And they say, well, I don't know, I'll have to find out. Well, they work there. They should know where the stuff is. So I usually ask them, could you get the guy with the brain to show me where it is so we can get out of the store right quick? Truth of the matter is, when somebody tells you to get a life, it's an expression that's used today that basically means leave me alone, don't bother me. Go do something else that doesn't involve me. But in truth, if you ask the average person on the street today, what is it? What is their goal for their life? I'd venture most people, it would kind of shock them because they haven't even stopped to think about what that should be or ought to be. Or if they're quick thinkers now, they'll come up with a cute statement like, well, I just want to have a good life. Okay, but then how do you get that? Number one, how do you get it? Number two, what is a good life? So we're going to do that this morning. Use the Bible and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're going to show you how to get a life. See what he said there in John chapter 10. Keep your Bibles open now. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And here it is. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life. And he goes even further. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So not just life, a life, but life that he has for you. And the Bible says abundant life. Now abundant means filled all the way to the top. Abundant means lacks nothing to it whatsoever. Say, oh, I got it, Pastor Johnson, I got it. So if you do the Bible thing and the Jesus thing in your life, you'll get everything you ever wanted and you'll have a full life. And that's not what he's talking about. He's saying that the life that he gives you will not only be a life, a good one, but it will be a life that is filled to the fullest. He'll put everything in it that you're supposed to have. It will be a life where your cup runs over. It'll be a life, you know, it's sad today to see so many people and they seem to have absolutely no purpose to their life. Now, it's not that they're not doing anything. Well, there's plenty of those. But I mean, there are people that just, they fill up their days. They fill up their hours. They fill up the days of their lives, their weeks and their months. I was looking at it again this morning on the calendar, and we're the 18th day of the month of May of 2014. I'm still writing 1982 on my checks. 2014. Can you think? We're almost halfway through the year already. If someone came up to you and said, hey, get a life, would you know where to go get one? Would you know what kind of a life it would be? Would it be a good one? Would it be the life that you wanted? See, for most people today, it's a gamble for them. They're going to have to just try and do the best they can with the life they have and hope that it all turns out. Now, here's a problem with that. You only get one. You don't get more than one life. There is no reincarnation. These Eastern religions that have infected that into our philosophies today in our country. That, well, maybe we come back and you try again. There is no reincarnation, I can assure you that. Number one, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So that's true. But number two, if we have multiple lives to live, why isn't society getting better instead of worse? It's not even logical. You got one shot at this life now. Look at me. You got one shot at this thing. This is it. You got one shot at today. This is it. You're not going to get today over again. One shot at this month, one shot at this day, one shot at this week, one shot at this year. You've got one shot at this life. That's all you get. And we don't get to get to the end of life and say, oops, that was a mistake, because you don't get to do it again. So when we talk about get a life, we're talking about something very serious this morning. Isn't it sad to see people, even young people, and that's always amazing to me, young people who still have all of their life ahead of them. And so many today, they just seem to have no purpose, no direction, and really no hope. Now, I'm 60 years old. That shocks you to hear that I'm old. I know that. But I'm 60 years old. It shocks me to say it sometimes. I have to look at my driver's license. Yeah, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. Good. So that means two-thirds of my life is behind me now. And at 60 years old, dear people, look at me. At 60 years old, I can't step up and say, oops, this first 60 years has been a mistake. Get a life. So how do we do it? Now, if you look in your Bibles this morning, Jesus is going to show you how to get the life he promised you. Not only that, but an abundant life. And we'll expand on that again in just a moment. And you know how he does it? He does it with analogy of sheep and shepherd. You see the context? Look at the Bible again, please. John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. Now, he's talking about sheep. He's going to talk about life in a moment, a life that he's come to give us that we might have and have an abundant life. But first he talks about sheep. He said, I'm the door of the sheep, verse 7. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Go on to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Now we got sheep and we've got a shepherd. Now we've got a doorway. He's talking about a sheepfold. In the days and when they tended sheep, they take them from pasture to pasture and field to field and river, stream, and water source, and they just travel around to wherever there was grass to eat and water to drink. But they always knew, the shepherds always knew, where they could find a sheepfold, which was simply sometimes just made out of rock or stone. Sometimes it was a draw, as it were, in a valley. But they knew it because they knew they could put their sheep there at night. and it had a very narrow entrance to it. And they'd get the sheep to go into the fold, and then the shepherds would sleep right in the doorway. And four or five shepherds would put their sheep in there. And in the morning, when they got ready to leave, they would stand up, and one shepherd would stand up and speak or sing, and his sheep would know his voice, and they'd work their way through all the other sheep to the doorway of the fold, and he would lead them out to pasture and take care of them. This is what Jesus is talking about. And in the middle of all that, he says, now listen, I'm the good shepherd, you're the sheep, and I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, let me challenge you on a Sunday morning to think with me for just a moment. He did show us here then how to have the life that he made for us. Here's how you get the life you need. Get the life, number one, you have to be sheep. He said we're sheep. You know, sheep are some of God's dumbest animals. Seriously. You're not going to see sheep in an intellectual contest. They're so dumb, you could take a sheep, put his nose in that corner over there, put food behind him, and he didn't have the sense to turn around and eat it unless somebody turns him around to eat it. That's the way sheep are. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I understand they're just kind of like dumb animals, and forgive me, all you animal rights people today. I'm an animal rights activist. I have to say that to you. I believe animals have their place right next to the carrots and the potatoes. They do. I love animals. They're delicious, okay? And I'm going to go home and eat one of them today, as a matter of fact. But so I'm a vegetarian. Thank you. Us carnivores appreciate the fact that you're a vegetarian. It leaves more meat for us carnivores. We appreciate that very much. You know, the truth of the matter is they're dumb animals. You say, well, okay, I get that, but I'm no dumb animal. Excuse me. That's our problem. Our problem is we don't want to be sheep. We want to be donkeys. Seriously, the hoys have a donkey, a mule or a donkey or a jackass or whatever it is you want to call them. That's not a bad word. It's in the Bible. Don't panic. The truth of the matter is donkeys are just stubborn. They've got one, and we're out there one day, we're getting some wood to take to some folks in their pasture, big fenced-in pasture, and this stupid donkey goes over and stands by the gate where we have to drive out of, and he won't move. And we pull up and we push him a little bit. He just stands there. And they're big. They're big animals. So we get the gate swung open like that. And then to drive out of it. And he puts his head over the gate. So it's sticking in the way, the gateway to get out. And I'm driving the truck with these big side mirrors on it. And I'm thinking, I'm going to clip that donkey right in his jaw if he doesn't get out of the way. So I drove up real slow. I paused and he just stood there. And I thought, too bad, you're going to get your jaw clipped. I'm going right through the gate. And I drove through like that, and he just pulled his nose back just far enough for the mirror to go right. And he's got a pasture, a whole pasture to go stand. And he's got to stand right there and put his donkey nose hanging out there in front of the gate. See, that's a donkey. So stubborn he won't move. So stubborn he won't get out of the way. So stubborn he thinks the whole world should have to go around him. That's a donkey. Now, sheep, you say boo and they fall down and that's it. I mean, that's just the way they are. You say, Pastor Johnson, I'm not getting the analogy. Then you're not listening to me. See, sheep, ladies and gentlemen, when God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on us the iniquity of us all. When he likened us to sheep, he's reminding us that we need to be a people who need God to help us in our life. Donkeys don't have to have humility. Sheep do. You have to lead them to water. You have to lead them to pasture. You have to take care of them. So I don't need anybody to do that. Okay, now look at me. If that's you this morning, how's it going? How good a life are you getting out of that deal, friend? There's nothing wrong with America that a dose of humility wouldn't fix. We are sheep, friend. You want to find this life right in the middle of this. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Right in the middle of that statement, surrounded is this shepherd, sheep, fold, thieves, robbers analogy. You want to have a life? You want to get a life? You need to be sheep. Sheep enough to say that you need the shepherd. Sheep enough to say you need God. Sheep enough to say, I could try this on my own, but I'd prefer to have the shepherd lead me. Because that's what he's saying. He's the door. Those who come in and out through him, Bible says they're saved and they find pasture. And he said, I'm come that they, who's they? The sheep might have life. And that they, who? They, the sheep, might have a life more abundantly. You got to be sheep. So do you really need him today? Don't you get tired after a while trying to tote all this by yourself? Don't you? Don't you get tired after a while shouldering the load all on your own? Don't you get out, listen to me, doesn't it wear you down? So well, I just don't think you ought to have to go to God just because you need him. Why not? What's wrong with that? A guy told me one time, he said, that's a problem with you people, you Christians. You just use God as a crutch. I said, he's a good crutch. And I'd rather lean on him than some of the other fools I've leaned on in my life. And some of the other foolish things I've leaned on in my life. Look at me. You're looking at old hippie from the 60s, folks. I've done all that dance with Thoreau and all the self-man philosophy and self-centered philosophy of life that everybody does their own thing and lives their own life. And that's how you find happiness. No, that's how you find a selfish, empty life. I'm sheep this morning. I need a shepherd. Get a life, you have to be sheep. Number two, you have to have a shepherd. So Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. Now let's take a look in our Bibles again this morning, please, if you would. If you're willing to be sheep, then look at chapter 10 and verse number 7. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door, verse 9, by me, Jesus. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. So if there's a good shepherd, then there's a what kind of shepherd? Then there's a bad one. Who is that? Thief and robber. One of our ladies had her house broken into. And while she was at church. And they broke into her house and stole a bunch of things out of the house. And then they defiled her house. They defecated in the middle of the floor. Just to be jerks. They didn't just steal, they defiled the place. Bad shepherds, ladies and gentlemen, they're really just there for what they can get. They're hirelings, as he mentions. That's just somebody who's hired to watch the sheep. But that's not really their job. And they're not going to give their life for sheep. Trouble comes, they're running. You know those kind of people. Hey, look at me. Those kind of people who are there for you as long as you have what they want. And as soon as you don't have that, they're gone. We have our jail ministry up here at Shasta County Jail, and we often remind the fellows there. I said, look, some of these guys you think are such great friends of yours, they're out there right now sleeping in your house with your woman, eating your food. Your kids are calling them dad. They won't come up here and even visit you in this place. And when you get out of here, you're going back to those people? Man, come on, use your head. A woodpecker does. It's amazing how there's so many people today who have friendships that are so shallow that as soon as you're done with what they need, they're gone. Those are hireling shepherds. The bad shepherds take from you. Hireling shepherds won't be there for you. But the good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus gets out of the deal. He gets sheep. He gets us. But he's willing to give his life for us. Now listen to me, you want to get a life, you got to be sheep enough to have a good shepherd and let Jesus Christ be the reason and purpose for what you do in your life. This self-centered me mentality, I'm going to get what I want, I'm going to get mine, and all that kind of junk, that kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen, will get you what you want, but when you get it, you won't want it. See, we'd like to tell people, boy, if you live a selfish life, you'll never get what you want. You just may well get it. You may well get everything you ever wanted and everything you ever set out to get in your life. You say, well, then I would be happy. Then why aren't they? These people in the entertainment industry that everybody thinks are so important. Have you ever heard some of these people actually try to hold a conversation? And if they're any way, in any means whatsoever, eloquent about what the way they speak, they can't talk without talking about themselves. It's all about the me. What I am, what I have, what I got, what I do, what I see, what I... These people, this is me, and about me, and blah, blah, blah. About that big. circle of life about that large and no life. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, they're famous and some of them are very rich. How long does it last? And when you die, how much of it do you take with you? We have a good shepherd this morning. He has given his life for us. For you, my friend. Before you even knew who he was, he gave his life for you. And did you know something, my friend? The life that we need to go and get has to be through the shepherd, the door, and the way he tells us to go. Then you'll find life. Now, I want you to stay with me this morning. This good shepherd, you need to know this good shepherd. Go down to chapter 10 again, a few more verses, would you? Verse 26. But you believe not, in John 10, 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Remember that analogy, how the shepherds, they all put their sheep into that one fold. Then they slept in the doorways to protect the sheep and to keep them from wandering. But when they got up in the morning, they would speak, and most often they would sing. But the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd, and they'd work their way through. Nobody else's sheep would follow anyone but their own shepherd. And they knew his voice. You know why? Because he was there at their birth. Shepherds would always be certain to be at the birth of each of the lambs. So when they were there, they would begin to speak or sing to that lamb, and that lamb would be stamped or identified with the shepherd. From birth, they would go forward and they'd know him. You can't get a life without having a good shepherd that you know. You come to him. That's why it's about Jesus for salvation and not about the church. It's not about baptism. We'll have people baptized this morning, but baptism doesn't save anyone. Baptism is an identification with the fact that Jesus died for us and was buried and rose again the third day. There is no work man can do to save you because Jesus is the good shepherd who's already paid for the privilege of eternal life. And he gave his life for us. And when we come to him, the Bible said he gives us everlasting life. Jesus does. Can I tell you something this morning? That's why it doesn't make sense to me why someone would get up and leave a room like this with an invitation we'll give in a moment and not accept Christ. We're not asking you to accept us. We're not asking you to accept church. We're asking you to accept Jesus, who gave his life for you. And that's where the life starts. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the life he promised to give us there in John 10, 10 starts with eternal life. And that's through Jesus Christ and salvation. But then he promised us an abundant life. Now before I get there, let me give this to you quickly again. So to get a life, you have to be sheep. You have to have a good shepherd. And the last thing is you have to have the right voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. That voice to get the life that you need to have, my friend, that voice is this book right here. The Word of God and the Son of God are inseparable. This is the way to life. Everything in here. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I've seen some things in there that mess up the way I'm living. It might mess up your living, but it will give you a life. Hey, a lot better than what we're doing. How many more books do you have to read? How many more episodes of Oprah, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Oz are you going to have to watch to figure it out? My wife likes Dr. Oz. Drives me crazy. This guy, if you took every one of those supplements he said you had, you would choke to death.
I take 1,000 milligrams of that every day.
And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I totaled them up. That's like 22,000 milligrams. You don't even have to eat anymore. Just take all the supplements, for goodness sakes. You know how it goes. You eat healthy, walk across the street, and get run over by a Burger King truck. It's just not, this is not the way it's supposed to be. His voice. You've got to have his voice to get to the life. He said, my sheep will hear my voice, and when I call them out, I'll lead them on to pasture. That's life, friend. The life that he has for you. It's where we leave God's word out of our lives that we miss the life that he has for us. You say, oh, but if I did that, Pastor Johnson, he would really mess up my living and the way I live. It would make it right for you for the first time. Hey, I went to bed last night, no regrets. I'd pillow my head and wonder, boy, how many lies I'm going to have to tell tomorrow to cover the stuff I did yesterday. Don't have to do that. Just life without guilt is blessings. But life with purpose. Hey, it's good to go to bed tired for the right reason. Instead of wearing yourself out trying to get away from stuff. Don't you understand? Your sheep, your shepherd, and you have his voice. And he said, I've come that they who are my sheep and I am their shepherd and listen to my voice, I am come that they might have life. But then he said they also might have an abundant life. So life that he's talking about there in John 10, the first one is eternal life. The second one is this life. I got it, Pastor. So if I do all those things, I'm sheep, he's shepherd, I do what the Bible says, then I get a life that's full, the bank account's always solid, I got all the package, I got everything that I need. Now, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, he has an amazing way to provide for us that nobody else can. I'm not discounting the fact that God is good and provides for his own. But look here. He promised if you go out by the door, he'd go out and you'd find pasture. Did you know that sheep are happy if they just have something to eat? You know what real abundant life really is? Happy with the life you have. So there's our problem. No matter what we get, we are created as a covetous society today. We got to have something else. Whatever we get, there's the new one next time. Huh? Remember when the Razor phone came out? What a big deal that was. They'll give them to you now. They'll just give them away because they're not worth anything because now you have to have the latest. What's the latest iPhone now? Six, is it six? Five, four, three, two, one, explosion. Whatever it is. And people will line up for 52 blocks to get the new iPhone 5 because it has all the same stuff as the other one. It just looks different and got a different cover. And they charge you $350 for it. Or 500 or whatever the case may be. Ha! But 6 months from now, you're going to have to get in line to get the iPhone 6. And life is not good. We got 3-year-old kids who know how to turn on an iPhone and sit there and play a game. I don't even know. I just give it to my 4-year-old. Turn it on for me. I don't know what to do with that thing. Turns it on, gets it fired up. Here you go, Gramps. Gives it back to you. I don't even have an iPhone. You know the truth of the matter? The phones we have in our church, we paid $1 for them. They got a crank on the side, and you got to, you know. We paid $1 for these phones. Bought all the staff a phone for $6. We bought the whole staff a phone, everybody on the staff a phone. But no, we got to have it right here in a little clip, like we're packing. But once you get that, you're not happy. Once you buy that new truck, I'm sorry, next year they got the new improved. When are they going to make one they don't have to improve on them anymore? You understand what I'm saying? The problem is this. We're not happy with what we have, and we think if I just had it, then we'll never have an abundant life. But here is the truth of the matter. I have abundant life. You know why? Because I have a life that I'm satisfied with now. There are things I want to do and there are things I'm looking forward to. But listen to me. There isn't anything I would trade my life for. Absolutely nothing. On Friday, I did about 5-6 hours of yard work, trimming hedges and transplanting stuff, you know, getting things ready for the summer months and that kind of thing. Got all done with everything. Got it all cleaned up. Got my sprayer out, sprayed, killed all the spiders and everything that moves within 20 miles. Birds were falling in my backyard, just down, you know, spraying everywhere. Got done, took a shower, sit down for a moment, and I thought, you know, this is a good day today. Had something to eat, relaxed for a while in the afternoon. It doesn't sound that great to me. See, that's your problem. Look at me. The problem is, if we took you and you lived in Disneyland, which would be God help you if you did, if you lived in Disneyland where you could ride all the rides and go to all the kiddie stuff and spend your entire life in amusement parks. If we took you and dropped you in the middle of a 252,000-square-foot mansion with widescreen TVs in the refrigerator, By the way, if we're not supposed to eat in the fridge in the middle of the night, how come there's a light in there? Think about that one, bro. That's right. So you can find stuff in the dark. We gave you all the stuff you could get in your life. You really think you'd be happy? Read the book of Ecclesiastes when you go home. There's a man who got it all, and when he got it, it meant nothing to him. Because abundant life does not mean you get what you want. Abundant life means you got what you want and you're good with that. He didn't promise us prosperity. He promised to have a life that's abundant, overflowing. You get down in the dumps, you know what a child of God does? Well, I'm going to heaven. God loves me. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? We got stuff nobody can ever take away from us. They can't pass a law to make us give it up. They'll never take it from us. We've got things that can be touched by the hand of man. No thief or robber could come. If I go home today and they stole everything in my house, they better leave my cotton picking golf clubs alone. If they stole everything in my house and it's all gone, I could get stuff again somewhere down the road. Okay, I'll wind up at Salvation Army and get some more stuff, but I'll get stuff. My dad, when he was one of his wives that he was married to one at a time, one of them had this thing where she used to, she'd get mad at him and she'd clean the house out. Wait till he went to work and we went to school, she'd back a moving truck up, woo, and clean everything out. I mean, gone. Come home from school, bong, 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 bong. There's me, my dad, sitting in the middle of the floor with a phone book. Hey, Joe, you got a couple forks? You know, she did it again. She did it like three times. And every time she'd come back, we'd get stuff again. Then we'd have to have a garage sale because we had so much stuff. Then she'd get mad and she'd clean us out. The last time, she took the switch plates off the walls, these plug things that go over the plugs. She took the switch plates off the walls. I'm surprised she didn't start yanking wires down from the things. I mean, she did. And after the third time, we're teenage boys, and my dad says, well, what are we going to say? Okay, Dad, number one, don't take that woman back. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. We're having to start all over again. That was all life outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. No, if I go home and everything's gone, nobody touched my salvation. Nobody touched my life. Nobody touched, look at me. They took stuff, but they didn't take my life away from me. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I'm sorry. I'll never forget the day we're in the dump in the Philippines. Trash higher than this ceiling. Roads cut back through piles of trash. And people who lived there, they put sticks down in that trash and wrapped plastic around it, and they slept in the dump, and they put stuff out of it. That's where they lived. We were in a jeepney. It was a big jeep with a box on the back of it, and people ride in there. And as we pulled into that dump, these little children came and jumped on the back of that jeepney, and they had dirt on their faces. And they had bought a little baggie with some Kool-Aid frozen in it for the little popsicle thing. And those kids on the back of that jeepney were smiling and laughing and happy. And I thought to myself, I got nothing to complain about. But then I hear kids who've got their own room and their own stuff, and they say, I live in a dump. No, you don't, kid. No, you don't. I have abundant life. You can have it too. Let's get a life. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Now then, with our standing to our feet this morning,